Occupying Till He Comes at Southwest Prophecy Ministries.
Thank you, Brother David. On today's broadcast, our guest is television host, author, and pastor, Gary Stearman. He serves as Chief Executive Officer of the Prophecy Watchers. Brother Gary believes we are living in prophetically significant times. Today, he, Dr. Snitker, and Carol Rushton talk about one of his many books, Time Travelers of the Bible. So let's join them.
It is a real privilege to have Gary Stearman with me in studio today. Gary is well known in prophecy circles, having served as a writer, telecaster, and conference speaker for about 30 years. What is perhaps not as well known is that Gary has also been a pastor here in Oklahoma City for over 30 years as well. On top of that, he founded a new ministry about a year and a half ago that is taking Christian TV by storm. Friends, if you have never heard Gary Stearman, you are in for a treat today. We have an additional blessing in that Carol Rushton, our Vice President of Social Media, will be joining us on the broadcast as well. We're going to be discussing on the broadcast today and next week what I call Gary's magnum opus, his 539-page book. I can hardly lift it. It's called Time Travelers of the Bible, subtitled How the Ancient Prophets Shattered the Time Barrier. We have a lot to talk about, Gary, but thank you for joining us on the broadcast today.
David, my pleasure to be here.
Well, before we talk about Time Travelers of the Bible, let's talk about you. You have a very unique background and testimony. Share with our listeners something about this.
Well, David, as you mentioned earlier, I've been a pastor for over 30 years, and before that I was a writer. I have co-written several Christian books. I wrote a book on Christian counseling. I wrote a book on prophecy. And then I began to be involved in publication of short articles over a number of years, and one thing led to another, and I discovered that my major interest in teaching always rotated around Bible prophecy. Virtually everything I do, whether standing at the pulpit or sitting down at a computer, involves Bible prophecy.
It's inescapable, isn't it?
Well, it all fits together. It's the whole story. If you take Bible prophecy away from the Bible, what you end up with is a disconnected series of events without any real course or direction. And so I always teach prophecy, even when I'm preaching the gospel and bringing people to salvation. I've discovered that prophecy is the best way to get somebody interested in coming to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And the prophets used, obviously, prophecy. Jesus used prophecy.
Yeah.
He encouraged people to flee from the wrath to come. That's a prophetic message. And so it is an important part of the gospel in our day. Well, since this broadcast is being aired in the Oklahoma City area, I did want to mention that Gary also pastors in his spare time, which is an abundance. He has an abundance of spare time between midnight and 2 a.m., but yeah. He pastors a local church in the area. I have visited the church on many occasions. So, Gary, tell us, for our Oklahoma City listeners, about your church, your service times, and where your fellowship is located.
Well, we're located between May and Penn on I-44, North Frontage Road, exactly between May and Penn, and it's called Grace Fellowship. You can tell it by the sign, 2445 Northwest I-44 Expressway, and people drive by it in the thousands, without stopping, I might add, because of a very busy section of Interstate 44. But we've been there for 33 years. It's a little Bible church, and we do not stand on formality. It's simply a Bible teaching fellowship. We meet at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening.
Great. I've attended many times on Sunday morning. The Wednesday night fellowships, when I'm able to be there, are amazing to me. You teach pretty well nonstop for an hour and a half on Bible prophecy to a packed house, and everybody's interested. They've got their Bibles open. They're ready to go. It's a very stimulating time.
It is. And by the way, I get called on the carpet. You know, if I make a misstatement, people stop me right in the middle of everything and I have to explain myself. I like that setting.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful setting and some great people. So if you're listening today and you're looking for a good Bible-teaching church in the Oklahoma City area, let me commend to you Grace Fellowship Church. And you will not be disappointed. Well, the Lord has led you to partner with your longtime friend and co-laborer in the gospel, Bob Ulrich, to start a new ministry recently. Tell us all about it and give your website address for our listeners.
Well, we are on the internet at prophecywatchers.com. We adopted the name Prophecy Watchers because over a long period of time, that term, people who watch prophecy and prophecy watchers, became connected with us in several remarkable ways. A lot of people listening may have heard of L.A. Marzulli, and he has produced a series of DVDs called the Watchers series. And we went to L.A. at one point in time and said, L.A., you know, you really ought to start a little program of your own. Maybe you could call it Prophecy Watchers. Well, he wasn't interested in that. As a matter of fact, he said, no, I think I'll go another direction. And a bit later, we came back to him and said, you know, would you mind if we took that title? And we did. It's who we are.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And you've been in operation since September of 2015?
2014. Late in 2014.
Yes.
So just a little over a year and a half now.
All right. About a year and a half. And you guys have just been flying ever since.
Well, we have prophecywatchers.com, and we have also now branched to various television outlets, and those are expanding. So we're taking it a step at a time. As you know, you can't grow too fast because you have to have the people to handle the response.
Right, absolutely. So. Well, we have a little bit more time to put in a plug for something very special that's coming up this July. Why don't you tell our folks about that and how they can participate in perhaps an unusual way?
Well, if you go to prophecywatchers.com, you can read all about Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference coming up this July 14th, 15th. By the way, the conference is sold out, but you can still subscribe to live streaming video. We're going to have two venues up there and two parallel live streams that you can not only watch at your discretion, but you can also essentially rewatch them over a six-week period of time. So it's still possible if you go to prophecywatchers.com, you can track your way through and discover how to subscribe to live streaming video.
Wow. Wonderful opportunity. So folks all over the world don't necessarily at this point have the opportunity to go to Colorado Springs, a beautiful venue, but sold out 5 months in advance, which is unheard of, but able to actually receive the spiritual benefit by live streaming. And of course, by that, we don't mean they have to sit in front of their computer from July 14th to 16th. They can view it for like 45 days afterwards at their convenience.
Absolutely.
Any of the sessions.
Any of the sessions for a considerable period of time afterward. But the beautiful thing is that the way we do live streaming is just like being there. technology now has allowed for HDTV and high-fidelity sound, and the company we're working with really puts out high-quality live streaming.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I guess we're here to talk about your book, so we should probably transition to that.
Well, okay.
As I mentioned, Time Travelers of the Bible is 539 pages long. And I just can't imagine writing a book that long. I've written some books, but none that are even in the neighborhood. So let me ask you, Gary, you seem to be very sane as a person, very, very sensible. Why, in the midst of your busy life as a pastor and TV host, did you decide to write this book?
Well, for the simple reason that from my earliest days, as far back as I can remember as a reader, I've been interested in time travel as a subject. I think the first thing I ever read was, prior to my teenage years, I read H.G. Wells and his novel on time travel, which, you know, has been made into a movie and everything. And I was intrigued by the possibility of revisiting the past or moving forward into the future. And I think the main appeal for me was to do something over again that I didn't do right the first time, even as a child. And it's fascinating. I had a long illness as a child, and I had time to lie in bed and read. And I realized that I wasn't perfect. And occasionally I would make mistakes. I would do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. And even as a child, I wished I could go back and redo it the second time and do it better. Well, over the years, that whole idea of redemption through reliving a process kind of ground itself into my mind. And when I became a Bible teacher, it suddenly dawned on me that the entire Bible is about time. And let me just read Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, because that's the heart and core of Time Travelers of the Bible, where the Lord says through Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." So this is God's own statement in the matter. And what really got me years ago is he says, I created the end from the beginning. Now, if I create something, I always start at the beginning and I work toward the end. But God starts at the end and works back toward the beginning. And it dawned on me, you can't do that unless you have a discrete block of what we call time, and you start building it from the back toward the front. And with the simple idea that runs all the way through the Bible, namely that he has an end in mind and he has constructed a series of events that will lead to that end. Now, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's totally the opposite of the way we think. We have to move from the present to the future with all kinds of uncertainty.
Right.
As we move along, we never know when we start something how it will end or what we'll experience in the interim. But God starts at the end and works toward the beginning.
Right. And then the structure of the Bible begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it ends with a new heavens and a new earth. So the whole Bible is structured around a goal developed and laid out by God, and it's laid out along a timeline. And in the book, there is a diagram in which I have laid out really important events on the timeline from creation to the new heavens and the new earth. And guess what's right in the middle of that timeline? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can go 4,000 years in one direction, 4,000 years in the other direction, but he's right in the center of everything. So the timeline was created with the cross right at its center. And Paul writes in Colossians that the cross was the single element that could renew and redeem the entire broken universe. So that's kind of the theme of Time Travelers of the Bible.
Wonderful theme. For those who just started to listen to us today, we're speaking with Gary Stearman about his fascinating book, Time Travelers of the Bible. And I believe Carol has some questions for us.
Yes, I do. And Gary, it's so great to have you here today. I read your book when it first came out. And it's very interesting, very fascinating. You have a really unique take on the way the prophetic scriptures are laid out. And I want to address our listeners. Don't let that 539-page volume frighten you off. It's a very easy read, and you'll finish it quickly, and you won't want to put it down. So I'm going to encourage people to get the book because it's really... really great.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned H.G. Wells' famous novel. It's called The Time Machine. There have been movies made about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have also, probably more recently, the Back to the Future movies.
Sure.
Okay. And now these movies have to deal with time travel. Can you expand? Can you talk a little about how different the time travel is in those movies compared to how the prophets in the Bible approach time travel?
Well, in the typical time travel novel, and there have been dozens of them written, and a lot of movies made that involve time travel, and typically time travel is used as a redeeming feature. You know, when you read about Marty going back and then coming back again and driving the old DeLorean, you know, in his particular time travel setting, what he's doing is setting straight a series of events that sort of got mixed up. And by accident, almost, his time travel allows him to correct a lot of the things that went wrong in his own family. And you find that as a theme in most time travel movies. H.G. Wells' The Time Machine had its protagonist move forward into the future. He saw the horrific things of the future, and he became involved in trying to set things straight again. In the Bible, one of the time travelers that really intrigues me is the prophet Elijah. Elijah was taken up in a fiery chariot. Now, I don't know what the fiery chariot and horses and so forth looked like to Elisha, but to me, in my imagination, I see some kind of a vehicle that's just loaded with energy, and it swoops down, it lifts him up, and he is taken away. He didn't die. He went somewhere. He went up to another dimension. And then we see him again in the New Testament at the Mount of Transfiguration, standing with Moses. And Peter, James, and John are there with the Lord. And what immediately hit me is that Elijah actually is a time traveler. He didn't die. He's in another zone that allows him to leave in one place and come back in another place. Because I believe that when Elijah stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, he looked just like he did when he departed from Elisha. Hadn't changed. To him, maybe very little time had passed. We just don't know, but he's certainly a time traveler.
Very, very interesting. Also, can you explain for our listeners how God views prophecies in the Bible that, from our standpoint in time, have not yet been fulfilled? Does he view them as if they had already happened? Or is Bible prophecy actually history written in advance?
Actually, this is the amazing thing. He views the future as if it's already happened, which to us is an impossibility because we still operate on the principle of time and chance and circumstance. That is to say, we're trapped. We cannot leave the time zone that we're in. We have to move along with it, and everything has to be resolved in accordance with previously fulfilled events. But when God looks along the timeline, for example, he sees Israel returning to the land in the latter days. And for him, that's a done deal. It's already happened. And a series of events are going to lead Israel to a particular point. And God has very, I think, distinct plans for Israel. Did he deal with each and every last single detail in advance, or are some things a little bit malleable? And that's part of what I discuss in the book. And I think there is some malleability depending on the will of man. Man interacts with God. And that's the beautiful part of it.
Very interesting. You know, I've always thought about that God, Wherever we are in time, God is outside of time. That's how it was explained to me. God lives in eternity, so everything for him is past, present, and future. We live in time, so we can't imagine what it's like to live in eternity. So God has a different viewpoint than we would. Is that kind of an understandable explanation?
Yeah, it is. We live in a physical time space that's characterized by entropy. That is, everything is running down. It's not getting better and better. All the stars are slowly disintegrated and cooling, and the universe is cooling, and energy systems are becoming disentangled and unlocked, and eventually everything would turn to frozen dust if it were all left untouched. That's the universe in which we live. But God, praise his name forever, is not going to allow that to happen. He's going to rebuild what I consider to be the broken universe. And that process centers around the cross of Christ, which came at a specific and particular time. And on both sides of the cross, you have this amazing program going on, which is involved in healing the broken universe.
That leads me to another question. And I think you touched on it a little bit in one of your previous answers. Is there anything that any person or group of people can do to stop Bible prophecy from being fulfilled? I think I already know the answer, but could you address that?
Can you contravene the will of God? I don't think so. Not the God I'm familiar with in the Bible.
Well, yeah, but people try.
They do. In fact, the one who really tries is Satan. He's very busily trying to contravene the word of God and the plan of God day in and day out. That's his whole job. He's trying to secure for himself a place in the universe, in time, space. He does not want to be cast aside, in spite of the fact that he's a rebel. And so until the bitter end, he's going to be working to counter the plan of God. And that ties into the idea of entropy. It ties into the idea of series of very dark events in human history that are chronicled in the Bible. And yet, those dark events, each one fulfills not a dark event, but an event that has light and hope in it, thanks to the grace of God, including the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was the darkest event in the entire history of the universe, but which has a bright side, because he rose from the dead. And that's the whole story of time to me.
Dan, I think you have another question for Gary.
Yeah, I have a couple other questions. This might sound very basic, but we want to start with basic things. How do you think, Gary, the Bible defines time? Now, we know how we define it. That's the clock on the wall that moves relentlessly forward, and we never seem to have enough of it. Does the Bible have a somewhat different view of time?
I think it does. It views time in terms of eras or epochs, which are very carefully pointed out. And I don't think, speaking of time, we have the time to talk about all those epochs. I'm a dispensationalist. I believe in the seven dispensations of history, a rough way that we can lay out history so that we can look at it from a prophetic perspective. But I believe that time has been laid out along those lines with variations. But here's the thing, David. Time does not exist. Einstein, way back in... right around 1917, made the flat statement. He says, you know what? Time does not exist, he said, and I can prove it mathematically. And so you start thinking about time. What is time? Well, time is a series of slices of miniature, minuscule events that are placed side by side by side by side in the millions, and if you compress all of them together, you have a timeline. And so you say, well, time then is a series of of micro events that are pasted together to form a line. But the funny thing is, and Einstein actually commented on this over 100 years ago, he said, if you split time up into micro events less than 10 to the minus 43 seconds, you lose positionality. That is, everything ceases to exist. And he said, therefore, time doesn't exist. In fact, he said, the material universe doesn't exist. And I would agree with him.
Wow.
Only in the mind of God does this whole thing exist. And that goes back to Isaiah 46, where he said, I created the end from the beginning. Time is in the mind of God and God's love. And it's really, it's a mind-stretching thing once you begin to put all this together.
Right. Now, another mind-stretching thing, I'm reminded of a statement that Jesus made about himself in John chapter 8, verse 58. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that is and of course, people picked up stones and tried to stone him.
Sure.
Because they understood what he was saying. Well, what do you think he meant by that?
Well, he carefully made a mistake from our perspective. You can't say before he was, I am. I mean, that's just not right, is it?
That's not grammatically.
Not grammatically. But it is if you are the ruler of time, space. From his perspective, he always existed. Therefore, not I was or I will be, but I just am. I always have been. And he was giving us a clue as to this time-space idea of the Bible views time through the eyes of God and goes way beyond Einstein in that, because Einstein said time doesn't exist. I would say time does exist, but it exists in the mind of God.
I'm reminded, I think it was in Exodus, that when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, he referred to himself as the I am.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, the great I am. And I think those who heard Jesus' statement understood that he was referring to himself as the great I am, mm-hmm. as the God of the universe. And that's why they took up, stones to dispatch him. Well, speaking of time, I can tell by the clock on the wall that we are out of time for today, Gary.
Isn't that sad?
It is, but we will be coming back next week. We've been speaking today with Gary Stearman, founder and CEO of Prophecy Watchers. Though this is a fairly new ministry, Gary Stearman is no stranger to students of Bible prophecy, as he has been involved as an author and telecaster and conference speaker on Bible prophecy for over 30 years. It is a privilege for us at Southwest Prophecy Ministry to be promoting Gary's intriguing book, Time Travelers of the Bible. In this well-documented and scripture-packed book of over 500 pages, Gary provides clear answers to age-old questions regarding the issue of time travel. And now Jerry will share how you may obtain a copy of this book.
Thanks, Brother David. Get your copy of the 539-page book, Time Travelers of the Bible, when you make a contribution of $25 to Southwest Prophecy Ministries. To do that, call 1-405-604-5975. The web address is swpm.us, or write to Box 58043, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73157. In his foreword in the book, Tom Horn wrote, quote, "This work is simply unparalleled in modern times, a revolutionary and instant classic," close quote. What you heard today and will hear next weekend is but a small slice of what's in the book. Time Travelers is astonishing in scope and written in common language that the average person will find easy to understand. Be sure to contact us for your copy. Phone 1-405-604-5975. The web address is swpm.us, or write to Box 58043, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73157. Friends, if you want these programs to continue on this station, we must hear from you right away. Contact us by phone, mail, or internet now. Plan to be with us next weekend for another Southwest Prophecy's Last Days Beacon program and the conclusion of Brother David and Carol's visit with Gary Stearman on Time Travelers of the Bible.